Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at a book titled Mormon Enigma, Emma Hale Smith. It was written by Linda King Newell and Valene Tippetts Avery. And as we've mentioned in prior broadcasts, this book, when it first came out, received several awards. But it was not met with open arms, I guess you could say, from the leadership of the LDS Church. And so we're discussing why it was not encouraged by the leadership for members to actually read this book, and it actually got the two authors in a little bit of hot water. To give you a little bit of the background of the controversy, we are looking at an article that was printed in Dialogue, a Journal of Mormon Thought. It was an article titled A History of Dialogue, Part 3, Coming of Age in Utah, 1982 to 1987. It was written by Devery S. Anderson, and you can find it in Dialogue, Volume 35, Number 2, Summer of 2002. So as we've mentioned, the book received several awards, including one that comes through Brigham Young University. But as I guess the church starts to hear stories about the book, they start to put some restrictions on the speakers. And so we have Linda King Newell's stake president is contacting Linda King Newell about this controversy that has come down and how that the authors are not going to be allowed to speak about the book in church meetings. There's a ban that has actually been put on them. And so they are wondering, where did this ban come from? Who is the one that started this ban? And this is where we are right now.
And so Hansen, that's W. Eugene Hansen, the stake president, also said he had learned that the decision came from the first presidency, of whom second counselor Gordon B. Hinckley was the only functioning member at the time in the Quorum of the Twelve.
Now we should fill people in on that, because if you know how the Mormon Church operates, normally they have three men at the very top, which is known as the first presidency. At this particular time, it was Spencer W. Kimball, N. Eldon Tanner, and Marion G. Romney. However, on July 23rd, 1981, they added a fourth member to the first presidency, who was Gordon B. Hinckley. And we all know that Gordon B. Hinckley would later become the 15th president of the church. But the reason why they added a fourth member to the first presidency is because Spencer Kimball and Eldon Tanner and Marion Romney were having some real health issues. They were all very much up in age. So they had to bring a fourth person on, I guess, who could actually do some of the work around there, because these guys were pretty frail at this time. So this is why you have four members in the first presidency at this time. Gordon Hinckley seems to be one of the suspects.
And so Hansen, the stake president, said the reason the speaking prohibition was given was because Linda and Avery, the authors, had been using sacrament meeting and other church meetings to promote sales of their book. Linda immediately countered, "If they had talked to me first, I could have told them that Val had never spoken in a sacrament meeting on Emma Smith, and it was my own personal policy not to speak in sacrament meeting after the book was published."
Now, we should stop there, because here's what's going on. They are going to basically be punished for what appears to be nothing more than a vicious rumor. Who is doing this? Who is listening to these rumors that are circulating? And I've heard stories. Now, I was never a member of the Mormon Church. If you're a Mormon and you're listening, maybe you can confirm or deny. But I hear that Mormon wards can oftentimes be one heck of a rumor mill. Okay, I've heard this story many, many times. Now, it's not to say that Christian churches can't have that same problem, but I hear that it's an exceptional problem in a lot of Mormon wards. So this story is going around that they are being banned because they are using sacrament meetings to promote their book. We have the denial right here in this Dialogue article. Okay, the story starts to circulate, and it ends up getting down to John Dart, who works for the Los Angeles Times at that time. So now the secular media is getting a whiff of this. And of course, when it comes to all things religious, the secular press loves to report on controversies. And this is just a perfect controversy made for publication, mm-hmm. I guess. So anyway, because the secular press is now showing an interest in this, Linda King Newell is going to contact her stake president again and inform him that the press now knew of the story.
The following morning, Hansen called back and told Linda to call the office of Apostle Dallin Oaks and arrange a meeting with Oaks and Apostle Neil A. Maxwell through Oaks' secretary. After speaking with Linda and first arranging a meeting for that afternoon, the secretary called back and rescheduled it for Friday. The Newells recognized the fact that this allowed the apostles and Hinckley an opportunity to have their regular Thursday meeting before seeing them.
Ah, so they need to all get their ducks in a row. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have this meeting that they have every week on Thursday, and no doubt they are going to discuss how they are going to handle this problem. And it is a problem, because remember, they're being accused of doing something they both admit they have not done. They are both conceding. We're not doing this. So the meeting is going to take place on the 21st of June. Remember, this all starts around the 9th of June. So within a 2-week period, they are now getting a meeting with two Mormon apostles, Dallin Oaks and Neil Maxwell.
The conversation soon turned to the Newells' concern of not having been informed of the ban. Oaks then provided a copy of a priesthood bulletin warning against those who use church meetings to push the sale of products. Quote, "This was the basis of the action," he said, end quote. Linda assured the apostles that neither she nor Avery had been guilty of this. Oaks explained that there was much more to the decision, citing the fact that many people had written to church headquarters inquiring to know whether Mormon Enigma had been sanctioned by the church. Since the book had been the recipient of two awards, one having been presented at BYU, the ban was their way of clarifying that the book was not church endorsed.
I'm reading that and I go, you got to be kidding me. The church-owned school, BYU, gives them an award, and to reward you for getting an award, we're going to ban you. Does that make any sense at all?
You just have to wonder, did anybody at BYU who gave the award ever read the book? Who was it that decided to give that award? Now, yes, there were two other awards for best book by the Mormon History Association and right. One other, but BYU is an official school of this church. For them to give something and now all of a sudden to realize that people are questioning this the church and does it endorse this book when it's painting Joseph Smith in an unfavorable light.
The part that really gets to me was when Oaks says, this was the basis of the action. What was the basis of the action? Pushing the sale of products in meetings. And they said, that never happened.
Right.
Here you have a Mormon apostle who is enforcing a ban on two members on something that is certainly nothing more than a rumor.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows, folks, that Mormon apostles can be the victims of believing things that are not true. It makes you wonder what other things Mormon apostles might believe that aren't true.
Hmm.
But it certainly shows that they are quite susceptible of doing that, just like anybody else. They can believe that which is false. So when she presents her case and says that that's not the fact, he's going to go to plan B. Well, there's more to it than that. But to say that the ban was the church's way of clarifying that the book was not church endorsed, that has got to be one of the most far-fetched excuses you could ever imagine. But yet that's the excuse that is given by this Mormon apostle. Going on page 45 of Anderson's article, he says, Oaks explained the decision to order the ban included the fact that, quote, your book represents a non-traditional view of Joseph Smith, end quote, and thus may damage the faith of church members who read it. Linda explained that the letters and calls she had received from readers described a positive reaction. Oaks acknowledged that possibility, yet maintained that he believed the weight of the evidence was on the other side. Now, let me stop there. If you don't know the background of Dallin Oaks, his background is law.
Yeah.
He was a judge, okay? He knows the law. When he says the weight of the evidence was on the other side, why is he referring to evidence? He's referring to evidence because it meant something to him in this particular case. But doesn't evidence also mean something to the two authors who put this book together? What Oakes is actually admitting is the evidence that was in the book was going to result in people having a negative view of Joseph Smith. The big question, though, is, Mr. Oakes, was the evidence in the book accurate? Was it good evidence? And if it was, why shouldn't members know about this? This is another case of the leadership wanting to shield the membership from anything that might cause them to have anything but a glowing feeling or idea of Joseph Smith. Now, this statement here is an abbreviated version. Tomorrow, we're going to look at what Dallin Oakes said along those lines on what he thinks his position is as an apostle in the Mormon Church and his duty to protect the membership.
And I think something needs to be mentioned as well. It talks about it in here where Maxwell did not answer when he was asked if he had read the book, and Oakes said he only read portions of the book. How would they know what
the book
said? Kind of
like some of the Amazon reviews that we get. You can tell by the reviews that these critics have not read the book at all because they're criticizing things we never said, things that we didn't include. So we know exactly what that's all about. But tomorrow, we're going to look at Oak's statement in more detail. And I think it's going to be an eye-opener for you to see how he responded in this interview.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in downtown Salt Lake City to browse the largest inventory of Christian books on the subject of Mormonism? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located at 1358 South and West Temple, just across the street from the Spring Mobile Ballpark. Whether you're looking for a basic introduction to Mormonism or a more scholarly work, Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding the appropriate resources so you can better understand the LDS religion. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore also carries dozens of books that Sandra and her husband Gerald have written over the past 5 decades, including their comprehensive work, Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. If you have questions about the LDS faith, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to assist you. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays, 1 to 5. Come check out the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. As always, we look forward to seeing you soon.
Hi, this is Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry and host of Viewpoint on Mormonism, heard daily on AM 820. I'm looking forward to meeting you at the May 17th Spring Vision Banquet for AM 820 and Utah Partnerships for Christ. Just go to www.upfc.org to order your tickets or call Russ East at 801-645-7433. That's 801-645-7433.